Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Amerika Olivo, and whenever I'm not being terrorized in the movies, such as Friday the 13th or Circle or terrorizing others, like in Bitch Slap, I'm avoiding dirty old men like Mr. Media. And if you see him, you should too.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today on iPhones, Android, Palm, and BlackBerry by the Stitcher app for mobile devices, and brought to you today also by 1-800-DIALDJs.com. If you need live entertainment for your party, wedding, bar mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Philadelphia metro areas, check out 1-800-DIALDJs for a real good time. So where was I before the commercial? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and the hometown of actors Patrick Wilson, Angela Bassett, and Monica Raymond, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Keep going whenever you want, Bob.
Well, I think it's got to be the dancing eyes. There's a lively sense of mischief and glee that I see when I gaze into actress Diane Farr's big eyes on the TV screen. The kind of eyes that make me think she would be a lot of fun to hang out with, and also the kind of girl who you'd get into a world of trouble with without so much as blinking. Or maybe that's just what the professionals call acting. Either way, from her days as sidekick to Dr. Drew Pinsky on MTV's Late Night Dateline show, on through acting roles opposite Dennis Leary on The Job and Rescue Me, past working with Rob Morrow for several seasons on Numbers, and most recently getting down and dirty as David Duchovny's teaching assistant on Californication, Farr has charisma to burn. And just to remind you of some of that, here's a pretty sexy clip of Farr and Dennis Leary from Rescue Me.
Who didn't tell you anything? Nice bluff, though. Hey, we were just talking about you. Did you talk to Laura about the poem that Franco wrote for her?
No, she asked me some questions.
And what did you say?
Oh, it's the same thing. No, it was all kind of subtext.
Okay. I wrote the first poem and the last poem, the middle one.
The one that sucked?
Yes, that was Lou. I was just doing a friend a favor, okay?
Sure, you weren't doing yourself a favor?
What do you mean?
You're making a move on me.
No.
You don't write beautiful, gorgeous poetry like this because you're helping out a pal.
Okay. First of all, I happen to be back in love with my wife. I don't know if you've heard the talk around here, but we're back together.
You write your wife poetry like this?
No. Yes. Kind of. It's complicated.
Complicated how?
Well, it's complicated because I'm taking these pills now, which is for something else, but I ended up writing poetry while I was...
So they're like poetry pills?
They're not poetry pills. But I wrote a couple of things on it.
About me?
No. I mean, yes, in, you know, roundabout way, but not what you think.
Go.
I'd write poetry about her if I had the opportunity, and Maxim magazine once called her Rescue Me character Laura the world's hottest firefighter. No argument there. And a New York Times headline said, "Looks like Barbie, talks like Ken." Diane Farr is joining me tonight to promote her upcoming gig as host of Acme Saturday Night in Los Angeles this Saturday, May 1st. And you can watch the online comedy TV show streaming live online at www.acmecomedy.com at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Diane Farr, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you for my beautiful introduction.
My pleasure. It was, you know, some of them just kind of write themselves, you know. And that was definitely the case here. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Well, let's get right into some fun. You are the last woman on Earth, and to continue the human race, you must have sexual relations with one of the last men on Earth who happen to be your former co-stars: Dennis Leary, Rob Morrow, David Duchovny. I'm going to throw in Adam Carolla. What is your strategy for choosing one of them, and who's the ultimate winner?
Huh. Wow, that's kind of scary. You know, I think I'm going to go with Adam Carolla.
Really?
Yeah, shocking as it is. Here's the coolest thing that I learned about working with Adam Carolla and Drew Pinsky. Mm-hmm. All women have, like, a slight crush on one or the other. They're, like, the two most polarly opposite guys. So everybody sort of had a, like, somewhere between a big brother and a, like, full-on crush on one of them. So whoever people started talking about first, I was like, ah, that's your crush. And over time, I was like, you know, I think I'm in the Adam camp.
Oh. Wow. And so you would pick Adam over Dennis, Rob, and David. Interesting.
In this little universe that you and I live in right now where I'm not married and none of those four people are married, yes, I'm going with Adam.
Well, and thank you for not saying, well, of course it would have to be my husband. I appreciate that you went outside the box on this one. Do I date myself by admitting that I you know, saw you doing that show? Is that like a whole generation ago in some ways?
Well, it kind of actually makes you younger, because most of the people that recognize me from that show are 10 years my junior. It was, you know, people like somewhere near their college-aged years who are the biggest fans of it. So sometimes I don't want to even date myself by saying, yeah, that was me, because I was clearly older than you if you were watching
it. Well, trust me, I'm older than you now, so I'll just take that for what it's worth. Now, you often play roles, I think, that many actresses of your generation would probably kill for. And I wondered, you know, what do casting agents see in you that they don't see in other women?
Huh. If only I knew, I'd replicate it on all the jobs that I don't get that I really want. But I have to admit that a lot of the times I pick the scripts because I've liked the all-male cast, and I like the adrenaline junkie characters, and boys are really easy to get along with on set for 14 hours a day. So I have a tendency to lean towards them.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting that you say that. I hadn't really considered that, but most of these shows have been very male-driven and not a lot of other women. I mean, so when you're on screen, you're the woman.
The girl. You, exactly.
Yeah, the girl, sorry.
Well, no, the woman, you're right. I just meant, like, I garner all that attention. It's true. It's an easy place to make sure you'll be noticed.
Is it easier to do these characters that have this kind of wild streak? Now, you know, numbers being the exception there, I think, but...
Yeah, but even on numbers, she still carried a gun. I had to learn how to use a machine gun. I had to, you know, like, she had a PhD and she wore Prada a lot of the time, but she was sort of a cowboy for what she was doing as a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
So all of them are really fun, and they're much easier to play than a suburban housewife. It's much harder to make drama out of nothing.
I can see that. I don't see you doing like Sophie's Choice. I don't mean to.
Well, we could only hope. Sophie's Choice is actually interesting because I saw it much later than when it came out, and mm-hmm. Peter McNichol's performance in it is the reason why I asked the producers on Numbers if Peter McNichol could be my love interest.
Ah. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, and did you know Peter before then?
I didn't know Peter beforehand, and when I came on the show, they had, I think, a design really to make me David Krumholtz's love interest, and probably a triangle between Navi's character and David's, and how that was going to play out. And I went in and asked for Peter McNichol, because he's so terrific in that movie and pretty much everything else he's ever done, that I thought he would just make me a better actor.
Mm. And he certainly demonstrated a knack for eccentricity on Ally McBeal ahead of that. So we certainly knew, you know, you certainly know what you're getting into there.
Yes.
Now, so I asked you that, but I'm also thinking, from what I understand, you know, I mean, this is the first time we've ever spoken, so if I have this wrong, you just tell me. But from what I understand, you left Rescue Me, and I think Numbers, for what I understood to be family reasons. And I wondered if if a willingness to choose family over career at this point in your career would make producers a little more hesitant to cast you in long-term projects?
Interesting questions. I did leave both of them mostly for family reasons. I left Rescue Me to further pursue my relationship with my husband here in Los Angeles, because that shot in New York, and after two series with Dennis over 5 years, I thought I might be single forever if I kept moving every time I went on a good date to another city. And then at the third year of Numbers, I was pregnant with twins, and a one-hour procedural, never the ideal job when you have three kids under 2 years old.
Yeah.
A lot of hours for 10 months out of the year. So I would think some of it may come down to how you leave a show. I gave everybody a lot of notice, and I gave them reasons that weren't like, I don't like the size of my trailer. So no one was particularly upset with any of that or felt like I had quit the cult for reasons outside of the bylines. And sadly, if you look at how hard my life is now with three kids who are still under 3 years old, I won't be having any more soon.
Oh, any more kids or any more jobs?
Probably both, but any more kids for sure. So I think I'm running out of reasons to quit shows based on family needs.
Got it. Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting what you mentioned about the way that you left the shows. You never suffered the slings and arrows as, let's say, someone leaving, Grey's Anatomy recently did. You know, it was announced early on that you were going to depart. You had a family situation, and it was a nice, clean break as those things go.
Yeah, which I think everybody has to work hard on, because everybody has feelings involved when you invest that much time into something.
Were you sorry to see Numbers come to an end? Or the series itself?
Yeah, I guess I probably had mixed feelings. Every job, even as an actor, I think after a certain point, has the same feeling that every other kind of job has. You're like, okay, I'm ready to try something new. For myself, after 3 years of playing that character, I was ready to try something new, and I know some of those boys and a couple of the, well, one of the girls had been doing it for 6 years. So
yeah,
as bad as they were, I know they were ready to try other things too. But it's sort of like an end of an era in my career. So I did.
Oh, it was nice that Rob Morrow made it all the way through a series without being fussy. Remembering Northern Exposure, that was kind of ugly. I want to come back and talk to you in a minute about Acme Comedy, talk to you about Dennis Leary, and, of course, David Duchovny and Californication. But let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with actress Diane Farr, who, of course, you'll recognize from Rescue Me, Numbers, Californication, and, of course, Dr. Drew. We'll be right back.
I'm Mark Sanchez with a message for women. This is the actual sound of my heartbeat. I'm sharing my heart to let you know that the symptoms of women's heart attacks can be different from men's. Please learn more. All it takes is a few minutes of your time in return for years of healthy life. That's a deal even my agent couldn't negotiate. Cover your heart. Learn more. CBS cares.
The new free CBS Radio app streams your favorite CBS radio stations, as well as all your favorite AOL and Yahoo music stations, directly to your iPhone, iPod Touch, and BlackBerry Bold. With 30 genres of professionally programmed stations at your fingertips, you can hear whatever you want, whenever you want. Stations like K-Rock, 1010 Winds, WFAN, AMP, and over 600 others. Now you can easily take your favorite stations with you on the go. The CBS Radio app is everything you wanted from streaming radio and a whole lot more. Go to cbsradio.com/mobile to download your app today. The new radio.com app for iPad gives you radio you can touch, read, and hear. Radio.com makes it easy to get updates on your favorite artists, follow Twitter feeds, watch original videos, listen to podcasts, and see photo slideshows. Enjoy over 600 stations from CBS Radio, AOL Radio, and Yahoo Music, including K-Rock, Live 105, AOL Fresh 40, WXRT, Yahoo Coffeehouse, Alice, WUSN, 92.3 Now, and Amp Radio. Look for the Radio.com app in the iTunes iPad App Store. It's free.
Introducing the Freecom Music Pal, the best way to hear your favorite internet radio stations without using a computer. Music Pal puts over 13,000 radio stations at your fingertips, bringing you music from all over the world. Stream your favorite local radio stations, the hippest online streaming channels, all the new HD radio stations, and any MP3 from your computer, all with the touch of a button. Click here now for a special offer and get your Music Pal wireless radio today. And visit freecom.shop.musictoday.com for more information.
All right, this is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media radio interview with actress Diane Farr from Rescue Me, Numbers, and Californication. Diane, you worked with Dennis Leary on two shows, The Job, which was on first season, and Rescue Me. You were on that for two seasons, I think. Now, he seems like a real firecracker of a personality, but the thing I've noticed over the years is that many of the same actors played roles on both of those shows, and the ones that have continued on to Rescue Me have stayed there for years and years and years, which seems to suggest that he's a very loyal guy.
Yeah, he is. He definitely has the Irish brethren, blue-collar, stick-with-your-people theory running through his life.
How, you know, what was it like to work with him? Is he as brash as people think, or is that the character and you know, the comedian?
I think he's pretty much exactly like the character he plays. He can be loud when he needs to be loud, and he gets very soft and very mushy, which is always sort of surprising. You know, I think we're all pretty complex, but he's much more in touch with his feminine side than most people would gather from the smoking rants that he was mostly known for when he started.
Yeah, he's definitely, I think people who know him from then to now, I think, can really see a difference in that. I don't know if it's the personality or that he was able to create a character, but he's not just the ranting guy.
Even as a person, but you know, he, at least on the seasons that I was on, there was a good percentage of tears alongside the screaming and the drinking and the, you know, playing around.
and I don't remember. I'll be honest, I cannot remember how you left that show. So I can't. I don't know if I should be asking if there's ever a chance that you would, you know, come back for an appearance.
well, I didn't die, but okay. I don't know if there would be a chance for coming back.
No.
Laura's been 3 or 4 seasons away now, and I know the network is really sad that they're going to go. So I'm sure they have so much stuff to fit in. They're probably not searching to bring back seasons 1 and 2.
It seems like they bring everybody back through at some point on that show in some way. So I just wondered. Now, what about let's talk just briefly about Numbers as well. It's a very cerebral show by comparison. You talked about learning to shoot a machine gun, that kind of thing, but it was still a very cerebral show. Were there the actors on that show, were they as smart as the plots?
That's a good question. I'm like, smart versus intelligence. I think all of us, barring Dylan Bruno, who played Colby, were terrible in math. All of us were terrible at math, and found it really, really ironic that we were sort of like the champions of math, particularly for younger kids in, say, junior high school or so. Mm-hmm. And you know, there is a varying mix of who went to college even and who didn't. But like any other role, you know, it's probably harder to play a heroin addict than it is to play a math professor.
Okay.
We just have to apply the craft.
All right. And then I want to talk to you about Californication. But first, we've got a little clip of you with the show star, David Duchovny. So folks, listen to this, and we'll come back with Diane in just a second.
You know, as your TA, I'm happy to read the students' material and suggest a grade, but, you know, you're supposed to read it also.
What do you think of Jackie?
You think she's hot, don't you?
I haven't thought about it.
But now that I have you, she's smoking.
You're old enough to be her father.
Well, sure, I could be, but I'm not. I have no interest in making sweet love to her, aside from the general interest that all men have in making sweet love to all women.
You know, I don't think I can be your TA anymore.
I understand.
You do?
You find me irresistible.
Look, I find you irritating.
Careful. That's how it starts. The mother of my problem child would say the exact same thing. Seriously, watch it.
Has a woman ever punched you in the face?
You know what? You should use me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I should use you. I'm frightened.
As a consultant.
You know, Diane, I was delighted to see you. I'm very surprised to see you on that show. But I foolishly imagined that your character would be the meal that David Duchovny's character would never consume. And, of course, I was wrong. What drew you to a program like that?
Oh, everything drew me to that program. It was just fantastic. They called and just offered me this part and said, they actually offered me that part, or and Beth David did this part of Peter Gallagher's wife. Mm. And the whole season is actually an homage to the movie Shampoo with Warren Beatty.
Really?
All three of our characters, myself and Beth Davidis and Eva Amores, are the names of the three characters in Shampoo. I'm the Goldie Hawn character, and Beth is the Julie Christie character.
Wow.
And it was going to follow that storyline. So basically it plays out the exact same way.
Wow. And you got to follow through with David in the end. Did he... Did he live up to his character as someone to mess around with?
David Duchovny is so shockingly smart, you cannot believe it. I think his undergrad degree is from Yale, and his postgrad degree is from Princeton.
Right.
He doesn't change a line that's written for him. He gives it exactly as the writers give it to him. Which is so nice to see in television, you know, like there's a profound respect for the other team and really welcoming of the directors, would let a guest star come in and let the scene be about a guest star. It's very hard to do comedy under stressful situations on set, you know, so the more open and free it is for the person who doesn't live there all the time, the better the work is. So I don't know if he knows that as a producer or an artist or an actor, but I had nothing but wonderful experiences there.
That's right. Well, I don't want to forget, the main reason you're here is to talk about Acme Saturday Night. This is your first time, I think, as a host. What's it been like so far?
It's my first time as a host. It's my first time doing sketch. I don't think I've done theater in probably 10 years.
Wow.
So, I rolled in there on Monday to do a show on Saturday where they're like, okay, we're going to do the pitches, and we'll pitch you, I don't know, let's say 20 sketches, and then you'll pick four, and then there'll be some other ones as well. So when I show up, it's not just that they're pitching me. I'm actually cold reading on the stage performing for the rest of the company, and we're all deciding what's going to work. But they're such a tight group. They're such, like, love and respect and lack of fear in that room. It's totally different than most television shows, I must add, but it's terrific. Like you get an embolstered sense of yourself. So it's been terrific so far, and today we shot the video portion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty fun.
And a last question, because I just looked over and see we're about to run out of time. Will there be references in your sketches to any of the programs that you've been on that people know you for?
Oh, there'll be references to all of them, and there'll be many references to being the mother of three kids.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, folks, listen, you can see Diane Farr as celebrity host of Acme Saturday Night in Los Angeles this Saturday, May 1st. You can watch the online comedy TV show streaming live online at www.acmecomedy.com at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And Diane, what a nice treat it was for us to have you here on the show tonight. Thank you so much, and good luck Saturday.
Okay, thanks for having me.
All right, take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. And folks, of course, for more original interviews with your favorite TV and film stars, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. And remember, you can now hear Mr. Media while you're on the go with Stitcher Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile application. The latest episode of Mr. Media is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory wasted. It's available for your iPhone, your Palm Pre, Android phones, or your BlackBerry. And downloading is easy, so go to Stitcher.com or check out the App Store for your individual mobile phone. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. And you can follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Andelman or facebook.com/Andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Hi, this is Kurt Smith from Tears for Fears, and you're listening to Mr. Media Radio. Better you than me.